All right, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Can we give a brief, before we bring on our esteemed guest, a brief round of applause
to our
producer.
Yes.
There's nothing, when you sit over here and you look over and you can just sense the panic, it always, he's on the phone getting our guy Bill Connolly on.
As the update's supposed to start.
As the legal ID plays and he's supposed to be firing off, he's trying to hang up the phone, fire off the update, turn on his microphone, like just round of applause.
Good job,
that was
dude.
A lot
on
going
one
on.
Hour of sleep.
That's a short amount of time.
Yeah, my heart is beating 1,000 beats right now. He answered the phone right when the legal ID hit too. So
yes.
I'm like, hold on one second, I'll be right back.
I tell you right now,
you know
aliens,
I'm calling him in a minute.
Aliens ever invade our planet, they're not named Victor Wembanyama. Dirt is going to look visibly like somebody crying and screaming, and I feel like you...
He'll be calm, cool and collected.
You won't even know the world is ending. You'll just be calmly like registering everything and not making a face.
You'll see it in my eyes, though.
In your eyes.
You got the fear
the eyes,
in your eyes,
Chico. They never lie.
All right, well, he brought him on. Let's bring him on now. Bill Connolly, our great friend, ESPN writer, the man behind SP+.
SEC Honk is what he is.
SEC Honk, Bill Connolly. That's what they call him on the streets, at ESPN _ Bill C. There's rumors he's going to add an SEC in there.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see on that front. Bill, good morning to you. Did you ever think you'd live long enough to become just a diehard SEC ESPN shill?
Yeah, I mean, I think the number of negative things I've said about Greg Sankey through the years, you like to think that that kind of gives you some clout, but every new thing you write is a new opportunity to be seen as the villain, I guess.
Did you think when you wrote the piece, because it's incredibly detailed, and I enjoyed it, did you think when you wrote it and published it that the reaction that you would get from a vast majority of college football fans?
Well, I think, you know, it's my own fault for putting it on social media. If I just, avoided that part, it would have been fine. I would have just lived in my little bubble. But, yeah, once you put it out into social media and you express an opinion, this is a time when that's not allowed to stand.
Right.
There will be pushback.
So let's get into it, Bill. So you put out a piece, and I love the announcement, like 2014 College Football Playoff is the AI of college football. We didn't ask for it. We're told it's inevitable despite huge unknowns.
Very well put, by the way.
Very well put, because it does seem like this is a train that's barreling down the tracks, and we're like nobody can get out of the way. It's coming. And to your point, like online right now, and we do have this in a lot of regards in life, of like this is either the thing that is desperately needed in college football, according to some, and if you don't think so, you're an idiot or a shill for a conference, or it's the worst thing imaginable. Like, it just, there doesn't seem to be a lot of middle ground. So as you dove into this, like, just what did you find, and what are the concerns, and why do you make the comparison to AI and what we're dealing with in real life right now?
Well, I mean, it's funny, for whatever reason, you know, for years we went by, as soon as 12 came out, as soon as we got a 12-team playoff, it was easy to assume that 16 was on the horizon, even though 12 has turned out to be a great number, even better than I really anticipated, and we didn't even see the best version of it back when, you know, we had a Pac-12 and a full five power, Pac-12, that was a power conference, I guess I have to clarify, but, you know, when we had five power conferences, the whole six conference champion, six adds large thing, that would have been even better than what we currently have, but it's still really good. It's a good cutoff. It flows nicely from the first round of the quarters and all that. So I've been really happy with it. I have still just been under the assumption that we're moving to 16 for a while, but every single time it looks like consensus is growing in that regard, we throw in some weird things like auto bids and, you know, Big Ten's going to get four. We're just going to turn the whole thing into an invitational kind of deal, and all those extra ideas have been terrible, and now we've moved on to the next big idea, which is 24 with no auto bids, I guess one spot reserved for the G5 or G6, and by the way, the number two team in the G6 is going to be 25th every single year from this point forward if we get this system, but that's, you know, this is, and now we've moved on to this, and it's pretty mind-blowing, and it is, as many negative things as I've said about Greg Sankey, as many negative things as I said in that piece talking about financial inequality and everything else, he's kind of the one, he's the one person kind of standing up to this right now, and hopefully he keeps doing so.
Well, we know Jim Phillips is all in, Notre Dame's AD is all in, we know Yormak is all in, because, you know, these are going to benefit their conferences as well, but it feels like it's boiling down to Petitti versus Sankey. And I said this a couple shows ago, and I don't know if you agree with this, or maybe I'm just not viewing it through the right lens. There's in a weird way, like that dude, it felt like anytime he talked, that was the gospel. The sport was basically being run because they had the 14 years in a row of winning the title, and they were largely always the favorites going into every season. And they still are looked at that way. But because you've had three straight title winners be from Petiti's conference, in a weird way, it feels like it's the old guard hanging on, fighting the new wave in a weird way. And I don't know if I'm misinterpreting that, but do you view this as like a Petiti versus Sankey, a power of the wills, and where would you lean of who's going to win this one ultimately?
Yeah, I think, it's certainly been a lot of that. And I don't know if that's been driven by the Big Ten winning titles or whether it's just Fox basically saying we want to have a bigger stake in the playoffs, so we need to grow the playoff or whatever it is, wherever that started. It's clear that, you know, a few years ago when Petiti was new, it was basically Sankey and Petiti having kind of a unified front where Sankey got to do all the talking. And now Petiti has kind of pushed himself out there a little bit and created a bunch of mostly terrible ideas. I got to say, I've hated basically all the ideas he's come up with, even though I'm not predestined to gravitate towards whatever Sankey says. I usually push back on Sankey the most, but I hated the auto bids idea. I guess the speed that this has taken on over the last few months has been the worst part to me, because playoffs never get smaller. This is how I ended the piece. Like, we never shrink playoffs in any sport, at any level, in any way. And if we're cut, like, if once we go to 24, it's always going to be 24. And we haven't even figured out how to pull off a 4-round playoff yet that doesn't end before Inauguration Day. And we're talking about ditching conference title games, which have been kind of like one of the main gravitational forces for the last 30 years. And we're doing that in part just to pay for a bigger, like, that's why we need a bigger playoff, because we're paying for getting rid of these other games. And it just seems like there are a lot of things we need to solve before we go to a 5th round. So even if 24 is inevitable, like, just if you're going to expand, just go to 16, figure out the schedule, figure out what to do with conference titles, because I got to say, I mean, you want to kill some of the drama of just kind of the home stretch of the season, you know, not having those title stakes. I realize playoff is the biggest thing in the world, but not having those title stakes and ended up with like 4-way ties in conferences or whatever takes away one of the sources of drama for most conferences. And that feels like a huge thing to me that we're just kind of glossing over in the name of a 5th round for a playoff.
Now, I want to say from the start of this, I'm more pro 16, and I just think 24 is going to happen. So I'm sitting as a sports fan who thinks it's inevitable, and we've been driving towards conference elimination or conference title games being eliminated, it feels like, for a couple seasons. My counter to you on that, because I think that's a very valid point, Lanning basically talked about this at the spring media days of, like, it's not going to kill the end of the regular season, at least for guys like him, because he's going to want the 1 seed. He's going to want the 2 seed, because when you get to 24, you're going to get an easier path than even you have in the 12. And the 12 has been incredibly difficult for the bye teams. The second thing I'd say is it doesn't feel like, does it feel like outside of, I know Indiana did it, but you have a little bit of evidence too here where you play those conference title games and other teams get a break. And I don't know if it like really benefits, like, do fans really feel like there's a benefit to winning a conference championship and playing that extra game? Do Duck fans feel great? Like, that was a great season to go undefeated and win the Big Ten. And then they got absolutely pummeled by Ohio State, who didn't finish the season good. So I think I agree with your take, but I can see the other side of the argument of, are we benefited from it, basically?
Well, yeah, and I think basically, and the point I tried to make in there was that we don't hate conference championships. The conference championship itself isn't a drawback. It's the 13th game that's the drawback.
Yes.
You know, Carson Beck getting hurt in the SEC championship 2 years ago, Gunnar Stockton having to start in the playoff. That's a kind of, that is absolutely unfair. And the CFP committee obviously has no idea how to handle teams that lose in conference title games. Bama got destroyed and still got in. And so, To me, the issue isn't getting rid of title games. It's getting rid of the 13th game and making the title game the 12th game. And I think there are ways to do that. The Big Ten in 2020, just so I can point out that the Big Ten has had good ideas. Big Ten in 2020, when they came up with their idea of kind of that final flex week where the two division champions play, but then number two plays number two and three plays three, and you have a full week of games. I think that kind of shined a light on how this could work. The Pac-12's flex week idea for this coming season shines a light on how things could work, but it seems like if, you know, it's not a punishment to play for a conference title. And I think outside of like Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, and a few other fan bases, winning the conference title is a huge deal. Like, obviously, Indiana going on to win the national title is even bigger, but beating Ohio State in Indy was a humongous deal for them.
Yes.
Back when they didn't really know if they were going to win the national title or not. So I would say it's still a really big deal. I just think we can get a little creative here, pair everybody off for the last week of conference play and get to the playoff with everybody having played 12 games, but actually also having still had a conference title race.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. We're talking with Bill Connolly, ESPN college football writer, SP Plus, at ESPN underscore Bill C on Twitter. You can go give him a follow there where he is posted. And be nice in the comments, okay? Everybody's free to have whatever opinion they have, no matter what yours is, his thoughts on the 2014 college football playoff. Like, I don't really know where I land on this yet, Bill. I certainly understand both sides of the argument here. I'm terrified of what it does to, like, as an Oregon alum, I'm worried what it does to me as a fan in the regular season. Not that I'm just going to, oh, willy-nilly, yeah, they lost a game, who cares? But, like, the stretch run this year is a great example for Oregon, where they lose that game to Indiana, then they had that closing stretch of Iowa, USC, and Washington, and there was a thought of, like, man, if they lose one of these games, 10-2, we would have thought would have been an easy, like, oh, they're guaranteed in the playoff, and then Penn State cratered, yeah. So it's like, what's their big win. So it's like there was a lot riding on every single week, and in a 2014 field, that's just not the case. Not that I'm okay losing games.
Yeah.
I've also heard the argument, I'm curious your thoughts on this. So I've seen people make the argument that back in the day in college football, as I sound like a fuddy-duddy, like for a lot of programs, 8-4 and 9-3 used to be for some a really good year. Like you go 9-3, yeah, you get to a Outback Bowl or a Holiday Bowl or whatever it might be, and it's like everybody goes and plays in the game. A lot of fans travel to the game, and it's a send-off and a great way to end your season in a celebratory fashion because we didn't have this playoff or bust mentality. And now, like, I'll use Virginia as an example. Virginia was in the ACC title game, I believe, right? I think they were in first place in the ACC.
Lost to Duke.
Right, yeah, they lose, yeah, to Duke. I can't even tell you what bowl game I have no idea what bowl game they played in and who played in the bowl game, and I can't tell you at all. And it, had they been in a 2014 playoff, it's more of a fulfilling back end. So I'm just curious what your argument is to that of, it's certainly not going to benefit the biggest of the big in the sport, but does it benefit the others who used to have that pathway or an off-ramp to say, that was a good year, 8-4, let's go to the Outback Bowl, to now it's, hey, we went 8-4 and we made the college football playoff.
Well, as a Missouri guy, I can tell you that Virginia beat Missouri in a bowl.
There you go.
Don't ask me. Don't ask me what it was called. I watched the game. I don't remember which bowl, yeah, it was. It really is. I mean, that's kind of the bowl situation right now.
Yeah.
It is. I absolutely see that point. And even, you know, when I was, anytime I find myself pushing against what might be seen by somebody as progress, or, you know, siding with Greg Sankey, I step back. And I kind of test myself a little bit. Like, am I just being, you know, the old man yelling at cloud here, or am I actually,
sure,
or do I feel like I still have a point? And so I went back through last year's rivalry week, you know, which would have been the playoff decider week. And absolutely, Virginia Tech would have been massive. That would have had added value for Virginia. They would have, they would have clinched the ACC title.
Right.
They would have been one of only three solo champions last year. We would have seen a fun field rush, assuming they didn't clam up against Virginia Tech like they proceeded to clam up against Duke the next week,
right,
in the ACC title game. They would have won that game and rushed the field, and it would have been a great environment for them. Arizona would have beaten Arizona State and basically taken Arizona State's playoff bid. So that would have been fun. And so you enhance two games, but then Michigan loses by 18 to Ohio State and still gets in easily.
Right.
Auburn, Alabama isn't in a win and you're in game against Auburn. They blow a big lead. They win. Fine. They're more likely to get a play. They might get a bye and they get a home game in the playoff anyway. Oklahoma doesn't have to beat LSU to clinch a spot. Vanderbilt and Texas are in, and there are really no stakes there whether they win or lose against Tennessee and Texas A&M.
Sure.
So we're basically enhancing two or three games and kind of devaluing five or six, and it just feels like, that's, you know, all the things the critics said 10 years ago about a playoff will ruin this, it'll destroy the integrity of the regular season, all these things, they weren't right, and I said they weren't right. Starts to feel like they start to become right. You know, at some point there's a line there where the value we're adding for some takes away more value for other games, and it's tricky. I know that the playoff has absolutely created that kind of mentality of that's all that matters. And so we're just kind of skipping forward to the end, I guess, with a 24 teamer.
Yeah.
But it does, the excess value of a given regular season, I think, gets diminished by 24 in a way that it didn't even come close to being diminished with 12.
By the way, that's the Tax Slayer Gator Ball, Virginia, Missouri Bill. Come on now. And if we get the Pop-Tart.
Where Missouri walk-on quarterback almost completed a touchdown pass to a walk-on receiver on the final play of the game to win, yeah.
I mean, look, if the Pop-Tart Bowl becomes a playoff game, I'm not upset by that development. I love that Pop-Tart Bowl. Final one on this topic for me, because I really enjoyed the piece. I think it's very well thought out. You go through all the scenarios and different kind of narrative-based things. Also, we know why coaches are pro it. They all want to protect their jobs and never get fired. Like, I've been 9-3 every year. I'm making the playoffs.
5 years in a row in the playoffs, you can't fire me.
Come on now, what are we doing here? It sounds like what you said earlier, now, from the Oregon State, Pac-12, Group of Six point of view here, it sounds like you think that if they go to 24, they have less opportunity, to which I just watched two Group of Six schools make the 12 team. Yeah. So I think for other schools like Oregon State and Boise State and all them, it feels like there might be more opportunity to have a couple more schools in this dance. You think that would not be the case if they expanded 24?
I don't have even 1% faith in the College Football Playoff Committee to make that happen. I think, you know, in the scenario that I was painting, I kind of laid out what the first, how a 24 teamer would have worked last year, and North Texas would have been number 24 after rivalry week. I can pretty much guarantee that that's Tennessee and not North Texas. Just because the committee has, I have zero faith in the committee. So if we want to go to a formula, where these things are kind of decided on a more objective fashion, then I think that becomes a point in the favor of mid-majors in general. And honestly, I'm pretty easy. Like, if you give me every conference champion in the field, expand it to 28 if you have to do this, put every conference champion in the field and actually give some money to conferences that aren't the ACC or the Big Ten and SEC in terms of all this new money that the playoff has created, they hoard all of it.
Right.
So if we actually distribute it to everybody and let every conference champion in the field, suddenly I am the biggest expanded playoff proponent in existence, because that feels like a fair trade to me. But not stipulating that mid-major champions are going to get bids, I think it can be too easily manipulated in ways we've seen before. They've been manipulated out of higher rankings before, and I just don't have any faith that that would change here.
Yeah. Other than being on the take from Greg Sankey, how's your offseason going? You having a good offseason?
Oh, very soccer heavy, very soccer heavy. Going to, another U.S. friendly here shortly, so I'm going to be out of the football world for a little while with the World Cup. That doesn't seem like a terrible place to be right now. So, although it's one terrible world for another, I guess.
Yeah, but
it's
true.
I'll say if you can afford to be in that world.
Are you going to World Cup games, Bill?
I don't have my schedule yet, but yes. Okay. I don't know if it's 2 or 4 or 28 or whatever, but I will be at World Cup games at some point. We're waiting on approval on that.
Random bone to throw at you then. We'll get you out on this one. From football to football, your shocking development news that Pep is leaving Man City after all of these years.
Well, it was the worst-kept secret in the world over the last year, but yeah, it is. I mean, he was an era definer in a way that very few coaches in any sport can be. Like, the style he kind of implemented at Barcelona became the default rich team style for the next 20 years, basically, or almost 20 years. And so his impact is pretty wild, and he might go out as a Premier League champion if Arsenal blinks here at the end.
There you go. Great stuff. From football to football, one of our favorites, Bill Connolly, ESPN college football writer, SP+, at ESPN _ Bill C on Twitter. Go give him a follow, and his latest piece on the 2014 playoff is worth the read. No matter your opinion, you can find it on his Twitter account and at ESPN.com. Thanks for the time, Bill. I'm sure we'll catch up again at some point this offseason. Enjoy all the football in the meantime, and thanks as always for hopping on the show.
Absolutely. Take care.
There you go. Bill Connolly of ESPN. A lot of people in the comments not happy with old Bill Connolly because this has become it's a very divisive topic.
Well, Lanning talked about it. I thought Lanning, and look, I think we've made this opinion or given this opinion. All right. Lanning kind of echoed something we've said.
Yeah. So we'll tell you what Lanning had to say, because they're at the Big Ten Spring Media Days. He shared his sentiment. Ryan Day shared his sentiment. Now they're doing that because they're following the marching orders of their commissioner, who certainly wants this, or because they actually want it. That's a question for another day. But what did a couple of Big Ten coaches have to say about this? Also, one coach backing, or doubling down, I should say. The window is open. The time is now. Next on The Fam. All right, welcome back in. It is 8:28 on your Tuesday morning. Hello, Dirt and Sprague here. Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fam. Little piece of advice for your Tuesday morning. Don't ever stop believing. Don't ever stop believing. Right now, if you text the word journey, J-O-U-R-N-E-Y, to 503-864-6326. You'll be entered for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see, you guessed it, Journey. September 19th at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. That's next September. A pair of tickets. Text Journey, 503-864-6326. And you can go to 1051thefan.com for complete details. I got some college football nuggies to get into here. Did you want to talk about Brendan Sorsby? Did you see that update yesterday?
I don't really have a lot on Brendan Sorsby. He can't play. He's going to get suspended for the whole season.
We don't know that yet. He's filing an injunction. Did you see who the judge who he filed the court case where it's filed? The judge.
Well, I assume it's going to be with Chambliss.
So I think they do it in their like the area of the school. And in a shocking development, the judge who will be presiding over the case of giving him an injunction and allowing him to play next year is a massive Texas Tech donor.
Wasn't this for next year, though?
This is for the upcoming season.
Oh, okay. I thought it was for the next season. No. Because he's in what world is he going to be allowed to play?
He filed a lawsuit and basically said, you're not letting me play and you're making money on gambling. This is ridiculous. So that was the basis of his argument, which is not terrible.
An argument.
He argued that
he gambled on college football.
He gambled on Indiana when he was on Indiana to feel one amongst the team. He wanted, it was like a rallying of the troops. He gambled for his team to win.
That's the argument. That's the
defense,
against
his team.
Huh?
Okay. And it also took a turn where he, some of the details were acknowledged. He was gambling on Turkish basketball games, Romanian soccer games, obscure doubles tennis matches, and the Nathan's hot dog eating contests.
I mean, you have to be hammering on what's his name?
Joey Chestnut.
Yeah. Because why would you take anybody else on that?
Go look at the guy. What's his the judge's name?
Gambling on the hot dog eating contest.
You got problems, dude. If you're gambling on Romanian basketball,
Chestnut's usually a -850
yes,
or
there's
something.
No point. I mean, odds.
You want $100? Bet $850 of it. You get $100.
Yeah, Philip Hayes is the name of the judge. And literally yesterday, a picture went viral of him running for the 99th District Court judge, and it was on Facebook. And it's him standing next to the Texas Tech mascot doing the guns up thing, and everybody's like, "Oh, I'm sure this would be an unbiased judge to preside over this case."
I would say, given the news the last 24 hours of what's going on in our country, at this point, he's going to rule in Sorsby's favor wearing a Texas Tech jersey.
He's
going to
say,
doing finger guns, saying, "I dare you to stop me."
Get him some cap guns for his holsters after he announces he's eligible to play next year.
Like Mike TV and Willy Wonka.
Bang, 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 bang. Bang, bang.
Now we're talking. That's where this is all going.
You're not wrong there. We had some coaches comment on the idea of a 2014 playoff, one of them local, both of them in the Big Ten, and they are in agreement with their commissioner that this is for the greater good. Now, we were trying to find audio before the show. We couldn't find it. I don't know if anybody was there recording it, but we have the written down quotes.
I haven't seen it. When I type Lanning Media, all I'm getting
Nothing's showing up, he did
a Reister podcast.
Ah, okay, yeah.
He's done some...
he did one with Yogi recently.
Yogi, yeah. I watched that one, and he's done his press conferences from the spring, but I haven't seen the Media Day one.
So this has become the hot-button debatable issue in college athletics. It's almost like we're perfectly shifting our focus away from the things that actually matter, like the transfer portal and unlimited spending, to 24 teams. What do you think about that? And it's successfully happening. It seems like it will take place, but the SEC is holding out. Here are the quotes from two prominent coaches. I mentioned Dan Lanning and Ryan Day. Here's what Ryan Day had to say, quote, "It's debatable whether it's best for Ohio State. You can go back and forth on that, but it's certainly best for the conference and great for college football in general. It engages more fan bases late in the season." Dan Lanning was also asked about this. Here is his quote. Quote, "Ryan is in the similar situation. Kurt is as well," talking about Cignetti. "Similar situation. Is it necessarily best for the programs that have been in to say, hey, let's invite more teams? No. But is it better? What's happened because of the college football playoff is that every bowl game has been devalued. The end of the season looks completely different. You're a failure as a coach if you don't make it to the college football playoff. It's going to create more opportunity, just like March Madness is great for the spring in college basketball. It will be good for our sport." Ryan Day also added, quote, "When there were four teams, you just had to win two games. Now there's more games to be played. There's a bigger pool, bigger field. But when you take a step away from it, you're always going to be late in the season playing for an opportunity to be the highest seed." And last one, and then I'll get your thoughts and reactions to this. Lanning was asked about the idea of, you know, for an Oregon, you're 10-1 and you got a game to go. Are you just going to sit your guys? Like, you're losing value at the end of the regular season. He said, not so fast. Quote, because of how the seeding would work, it's still so valuable. We're talking about 24 teams. The value of being the first seeded team is so much more valuable than being the fourth seeded team, even if you're going to want to make sure you put yourself in that position. Could that happen? It could happen. But there's so many teams in the conversation that one loss could be a huge difference between a one seed or a 5 or 8 seed. So, very clearly following the marching orders. I'm sure they both, you know, kind of believe in what they're arguing here to a certain extent, but their conference definitely wants this. Mm-hmm. And Dan Lanning, two prominent coaches in college football, have come out and planted their flags as pro 24-team college football playoff.
Well, it's not unusual to hear it. Petitti basically said every coach wants it. The funny thing is Sankey doesn't want it, and coaches in conference do.
The SEC coaches want it.
And it's for the obvious reason.
Yes.
Because, yeah, Kirby's okay. Lanning's okay. Day, Cignetti. Everybody else is battling to keep the job. The funniest thing was asking Mike Norvell his stance on it. I'm pro it. Why would I not be?
Yes.
Yeah, no kidding, dude.
Yeah, we know, Mike.
You're struggling over there, and you're about to get fired. I totally get why you're in on it.
In his defense, he went undefeated. He should have an appearance, but that didn't
I don't
happen.
Really have a new take on I've kind of given all the takes on it. Like, the end of the season scenario, because one of the fear-mongering, but one of the fears, I would say, of the expansion that I've heard is, well, get ready for people to sit their rivalry weekends. And I've kind of laughed at that idea. Like, you're telling me Oregon, Washington, and Ohio State, Michigan are playing. You're going to have the biggest players sit out and load manage.
Let's start a redshirt freshman quarterback, Dante Moore. No reason to risk it to get the biscuit.
Well, the only scenario I see that playing out ever is if one team is undefeated and they've secured a bye. If that's it going in, and if they lose, they're still getting a bye. But even then, it's like that sport hasn't given us a lot of that. Like, I know Indiana just did it, and we were like, oh, they're really going to go undefeated. Oregon went undefeated in the regular season and then won the Big Ten title game. But I think the sport in general is not built in a spot where you're going to see that a whole lot. Yeah. I think there's too much depth. There's too much parity. Players are moving around too much. And until some of that stuff changes, I have a hard time believing you're going to get to that situation. So if I don't believe you're going to be there for it, I don't believe it's really an issue. Now, the one thing I will highlight, and I've been saying this forever, the 4-team and the 12 and whatever it's going to be after this, what is created is an irrelevance of bowl games. Now, you can point to ratings. I think the last couple of years they've actually
still
had good ratings.
Him, but yeah,
but they haven't been watching in the way I think we're watching.
To the point of Bill Connolly. Bill Connolly is one of the most prolific college football writers that exists. He couldn't even tell you what bowl game his program played in last year. He knew the outcome, like who
he played.
Couldn't tell you what bowl game it was.
And that's the point, is like, we joke about the Pop-Tart Bowl being a playoff game, but I'm also kind of being serious. Like, unless you're doing gimmicky crap, people don't care. Like, my Oregon State team went through this. They lost their head coach, got to go to El Paso. They played Notre freaking Dame. That should have been a big deal. All the players basically sat out, left. They were transferring, and Notre Dame went out there and absolutely bludgeoned them.
Yeah.
And, like, that game used to mean something, used to matter. Well, if you make games like that a playoff game, well, now I think you got guys sticking around. Now you have interest from more fans to want to travel, to want to watch the game, to want to be as invested in it. And if you don't make the playoff, like, nobody cares. If Mike Norvell doesn't make the playoff this year, is that enough to secure his job? I don't know, man. The ACC ain't particularly strong. Duke just won it like 7-5. I'd make an argument it shouldn't. But if you're at 24 and you make the playoff, it's an argument to not buy out somebody for $85 million.
Right.
And maybe fiscally you become a little more responsible in that regard. You shouldn't be giving out some of these contracts that you're giving out. But I think Lanning's ultimate point that I agree with, and I've been on it, is most of these non-playoff bowl games, they're completely irrelevant. We don't remember them. They don't matter in any way. Like, if you just make it a playoff game that you want to call play-in, whatever,
yeah,
I don't really care.
It's tough because I think both sides of this are completely true, right? Like, for the biggest teams in the sport, the week in and week out grind won't be quite the same. Like, not that, and this is the argument that you make that's totally valid, of like, Oregon and Washington are playing at the end of the year. Oregon could be 10-1 and already have their, like, you're locked into a 20.
You're going to make the playoff.
You're making the playoff. I'm still not okay losing to Washington. Like, I'm still going to be livid if they lose the game. Like, I don't want to lose to the Huskies, and that's never a world that I want to live in. But the ramifications of a loss won't be quite the same, more than just, like, yelling to rival fans and, you know, the trash talk that comes with it, because you'll know your spot is guaranteed. But I also, like, I've seen a lot of people make the argument about, and I brought this up to Bill, of, like, the idea of 8-4, 9-3, or 10-3, or whatever it would have been, like, being a successful year. Like, Oregon's been that program. Like, I'm not too old to remember, or too young, I should say, to remember. Like, one of my favorite all-time Oregon seasons was 2008. It was Bilotti's last year. At the time, we didn't really know it was Bilotti's last year, but it was Masoli, and they had Jeremiah Johnson. It was the year that they beat Oregon State in the Civil War in Corvallis to keep them from going to the Rose Bowl. That team was 9-3 in the regular season. They went to the Holiday Bowl. They beat Des Bryant and Oklahoma State. Like, that was a big deal at that time, because it had been a number of years since they had won the Fiesta Bowl since, you know, 2001. Like, the Joey Harrington highlight in the Fiesta Bowl, or excuse me, the Holiday Bowl, catching the pass. Like, it's still played on every pregame video at Autzen Stadium for every game.
Yep.
That was a Holiday Bowl game. Now, if you go, who played in the Holiday Bowl last year? Nobody could. No idea.
That's a fun game. What conferences are designated to the Holiday Bowl?
Used to be the Pac-12. It's not the case anymore.
That's why I'm asking.
Was it an old Pac-12 team? Did USC go? I have no idea who played in that game.
Who would you guess?
TCU versus Arizona.
Oh, you did. You nailed one of the teams.
Who did I get?
Arizona.
Okay.
And you're in the ballpark with TCU.
Baylor. Who did they put? No.
Yeah, you're close. You're in the same.
Can't be Texas Tech.
It's an off-the-beaten-path playoff-ish team that we don't ever talk about.
BYU?
No. You were in the ballpark with the original TCU,
Texas Tech,
Baylor.
Texas is not Texas, was it?
No.
Brandon, you got anything for me here?
Off-the-beaten-path playoff team that we don't talk about at all. We really like their coach, too.
God, you're going to tell me who it is now. It's going to piss me off. I'm blanking.
I know. That's why I want you to guess. We don't talk about them.
We don't
talk
about them.
They're in a weird conference.
They're in a weird
conference.
For where
they're located.
UCF? No.
No. You think about TCU, Baylor.
Same state.
Yeah.
Who else are we missing in Texas? Baylor, Texas,
Texas
Tech.
They've jumped to the forefront because of booster money.
Texas Tech?
No.
No, did jump to the front because
of booster money. They were in the playoff game against Oregon.
Yes, they were. Good point. Touche.
Dude, this is proving my whole point. We don't talk about this team.
Who is it?
SMU.
Oh!
The Pony Express.
God, I'm an idiot. How did I not guess that?
That was a playoff team 2 years ago. We don't remember the playoff games.
But the point remains of, like, those seasons, they meant something, and now, like, I want to get to this on the side. So we'll talk a little bit more about this. We also had comments from a coach who made the argument.
Now is the time.
Starting now, you judge.
Now
we can hold you accountable for falling short. We'll get to that next on the Fam. Hey, we're making love in the Love Boat. Welcome back in, everybody. Life's sweetest reward. 2 inches is a lot, buddy. You want to tell the people what's coming up top of the hour? Huh?
Oh, yeah.
You want to alert them?
Yeah, I do.
You want to notify the folks?
Well, coming up today at the top of the hour.
What do we got?
Mail Sack. A very special mail sack brought to you by our great friends at Sparta TRT.
Questions are already rolling in. Keep them coming. 503-864-6326. And we will answer them in about 13 minutes from now.
Do you have a Sparta helmet?
I do not have a Sparta helmet.
I was thinking about buying one and wearing it during the segment.
It's not a bad idea.
But
not a bad idea.
I don't know. The headphones would work in that scenario.
One of those random things. By the way, Teddy's really into putting football helmets on right now, which gives me, you know, a lot of parental joy. Like, all right, the blueprint's here. Get away from soccer. But he, one of the things that I did own for a long time that I brought back, that I was one of those things like, how did this last this long? We went to Europe. I don't remember a lot of the trip. I was like, I don't know, second grade, third grade. I was pretty young. When I was there in England, I bought one of the big, tall police hats.
Oh, the red coat guys.
Not like the guys who wear the big fur ones. It's more of like the...
Oh, you mean
like
the actual police.
Like the actual police, yeah. And I don't know why I bought it. I don't know how we got it back in a suitcase. Dude, that thing traveled with me. Until last year we moved, and I'm like, why do I still own this? It doesn't fit. I've never worn it.
Did you get it to Teddy?
No, I tried to give it to my niece and nephew. I was like, do one of you guys want this for a Halloween costume? And they said no, and I threw it away.
You threw it away?
What am I going to do with that?
Okay.
I mean, it's weird throwing stuff away. It makes you feel like you're throwing away your childhood.
Doesn't
like
it
a memory.
Feel like you're throwing away a member of the family on an item like that?
Like I'm stabbing my mom in the back. A little bit. All the things that she saved for me. I don't want these anymore.
It'd be funny if you showed it to her and she goes, what's that? Yeah. And you're like, it's from Europe. She's like, you got that?
No, she would definitely remember. I think if I told her, she'd be livid. It's like, you threw that away.
Oh, really?
Hopefully she's not listening. Mail sack questions, keep them coming. We're talking college football here. The last point I'll bring up, and then I'm going to get to some comments from another coach of, I think I've come to the conclusion, I've tried to be very fair and balanced on this idea. I understand the pluses, I understand the minuses. But I saw somebody make that argument about 8-4, 9-3, and how that there used to be a pathway to end your season on a positive note, and that just doesn't exist anymore. 8-4, 9-3 means your coach is either leaving for a bigger job, you're going to a bowl game that nobody can remember, nobody's going to be playing in that bowl game because all your guys are going to opt out, and it just sucks. It's a dud of a way to end your year. And the powers that be will always be in the mix for the playoff, and a lot of those programs won't be able to break through. I'm totally fine with a 2014 playoff as long as it's set up in a way that incentivizes to the greatest detail or majority the higher seeds, if that makes sense. Like, home field advantage for multiple rounds. Like, that should be a main thing of, like, if you're the one seed in the tournament, I get to host playoff games all the way until the semifinals or whatever it would be. Or the idea of reseeding, right? Like if somehow a 22 seed pulls off an upset, I shouldn't have to play the team that was bracketed in. If you want me to still care about and incentivize winning in the regular season, I think you need to incentivize the higher seeds in the playoff to the greatest degree humanly possible.
Gotcha.
So you don't get the idea of teams who are, dude, we're 10-1. I don't care. We're a 3 seed or a 7 seed. Who gives a rip? Let's go to the playoff.
Yep.
You need to incentivize that stuff to still matter to a great deal in the regular season where you can feel the benefit of it in the playoffs. And so there you don't lose the will to win, if you will, at the end of the back end of the regular season.
Yeah, so. I mean, look, I think there's consequences that you're going to have with it. Certainly things that I'm willing to say, oh, this developed this way. Oh, yeah, I was maybe a little off on it. I don't know, man. Like, it ain't perfect. I get it. But overall, we have a lot of examples in sport in general. When we include more fan bases and teams and give them a little more of a pathway, it tends to be like a pretty good response from sports fans on that. Baseball.
Usually, yes.
NFL, right? The NBA already gives you half the league, makes the playoffs. Then you got to play in now. Like,
some games lose meaning, but a lot of games gain meaning, and you got to balance both of those things out at the end of the day. The time is now.
Mm-hmm.
Now the expectations can begin. Now is when the winning starts. That's according to Lincoln Riley. He had a comment we talked about a couple of weeks ago where he said
he keeps doing it, man.
He doubled down yesterday. He said the window was open, and a lot of people made fun of him of like, you're at USC, you're going into year 5. What do you mean the window is? Indiana just won a national championship, dude. You're at USC. And at the spring meetings yesterday, he said, quote, we absolutely have taken steps now. Honestly, now it's just the time to go do it. It's time. The program's ready for it. When asked about his windows open comment, he said, I caught some flack for saying that. I thought that we had opened the window, but it's just true. It's how I feel. And I feel like I've got a little bit of credibility in terms of having been a part of some places that did that at a pretty high level. So at least I have a little bit of an idea of what I'm talking about. He can't help himself, and I love it, because him saying the window is open now and them somehow missing the playoff next year would be music to my ears.
I mean, he has to.
He has to make the playoffs.
Now, does that mean he's getting fired? I can't speak to that. I don't know how the inner workings of USC's donor base works. It sounds like his buyout is insane.
No, they're not going to fire him.
They may not fire him even if he doesn't, but like...
He just had the number one recruiting class in the country. I get it, but the idea of him being 5 years in...
Him not making
and not
it...
not making a playoff is hilarious.
It's pretty crazy. And like, there's no more excuses. Those have run out a couple years ago.
Ran out year one, dude. You're at USC. The transfer portal exists. You can overhaul your roster in an off season.
Well, also, like, yeah. And
now he cares about recruiting. Oh, it took you 5 years to figure out high school recruiting matters?
What I find the most funny is, like, well, you know, it's never easy to... You know where they were at when he took it over? And I'm like, okay. Even if you want to comp it to Oregon and you want to say, well,
Oregon
Lanning
was in a better
spot. It was handed to him from Cristobal.
Sure.
I would argue Lanning's improved it and made it better. Now, he hasn't won the old enchilada, but he's improved it and hasn't cratered.
Yes.
We've seen it crater at Oregon. Mark Helfrich, come on down.
Took it over from Chip Kelly, and it did not go very well.
Like, I just think it's a ridiculous argument. Good luck to him, man. Keep setting the expectations. You better make it.
That game at the end of September cannot get here quick enough. The time is now. I guess he's saying you can criticize me now when you're 5 if I don't make the college football playoff. James Madison made a college football playoff before USC.
Is Bob Chesney going to make the playoff from James Madison the next year, beat Lincoln Riley at UCLA year one?
Buddy.
I'd be shaking in my boots, man. I actually think Chesney's going to end up doing some pretty good stuff.
He's recruiting at a high level, dude. He's snagging recruits all over the place. I got a top 10 class right now. It's pretty shocking. The time is now. The window is open. Welcome to the party, USC. I'm glad to know that you still exist. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. We'll get a little into the Eastern Conference Finals. Knicks and Cavs game one. Can it deliver the way the West did last night as the conference finals are underway? We start, though, as we always do.
Mail.
With the mail sack, baby. You know where to send them, 503-864-6326. Sports, non-sports, does not matter. A Sparta TRT mail set kicks out the final hour next, 105.1 FM The Fam.